You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Welcome to Bras, Bitches, and Balls. And today we're going to be talking about Christmas traditions, and we may have a guest.
Maybe.
We'll see.
You know us, we're always a hot mess.
Yes, as always, a hot mess. So, here, as always, I'm Nick. We have Lisa, and Lee is here, who is the host of the show, and we'll be talking about the Bra of the Week. Hello, Lee.
Hello. How are you, Nick?
I'm okay.
You know, we like as if we didn't see each other for the last.
I know for like about last half an hour.
Hey, how's it going?
We just arrived.
We were all actually super early today.
Yeah, I know.
So, Jess, we arrived at 8:30, or I did,
and then me too.
What? Why?
Yeah, got a coffee. I'm like, what am I doing?
Well, yeah, she called me, and I was on my way over from Gail's because I had to pick up a last minute Christmas gift, which I'll show everyone because it's super cute.
It's super cute.
So, Gail's Chocolates, if you're watching. Free advertising for you. Mm-hmm. But I was over at Gail's to grab that, and they opened at 8. So I was headed over. She's like, I'm at the studio. I'm like, really? Because I'm headed over there right now. So we we were all super early, except for our potential guest who totally forgot she had what we termed an entrepreneurial moment because she said, well, it's not a senior moment. My mom's got a better memory than me. I'm like, yeah, but when you're running a business, things...
Like days.
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, you're like, days. Oh, shit. Where have I been for the last week? It's December?
Yeah.
And especially for a retailer during the Christmas season. So we're hoping that she will be able to run over here and join us. But if not, we'll work through it.
We'll figure it out. Because, you know, this Christmas has been weird. It's not as busy as last Christmas. So it's...
In retail?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my retail. I don't know about everybody else's. It's not like I call them and go, hey. Yeah.
How's your sales going?
How's it going today? Because we're all going to be like, they're awesome. Yeah, it's great. So let's talk about things that you could actually buy from us, which this time is a bra.
The bra of the week.
All right. So this is a panache bra. She's got lots and lots of fun color. What do you think about that, Lisa?
I think it looks kind of animal print, but not fully animal print.
Right. Right. I completely agree. Oh, I'm falling down now. So that is Jasmine by Panache. Jasmine is a bra that if you are a Panache wearer, that you're probably familiar with. The band is nice and soft. There's not a lot of design to it, so it's really comfortable to wear. The cups go up into a K cup. And we have the stretch lace right on top. Lisa, will you just kind of pull on that stretch lace?
I have K cups at home, but they are not bras.
They are not bras.
Yeah, I was going to say, when I see a K cup, I think that looks really small for a K cup.
So this is stretchy.
Yeah, that's stretchy.
So it's like elastic lace?
Yeah, it's a stretch lace. So what in this world would that be good for? Well, if you have a very round breast... a lot of bras, if they're too stiff, will cause that quad breast look.
Yeah, where it's like I've got a double boob.
Yeah, exactly.
Like something from Fifth Element or something.
Yeah.
All right.
What a great movie that was. I loved Fifth Element.
So it's called a balconette. What does a balconette mean?
It's just how it's going to be. It's not a full coverage, so it's not a bra that encompasses the breast completely to lock it down.
But just kind of holds it up on the bottom.
It's got support on the sides, too.
The sides here are...
Right. So, I mean, really to understand a balconette, you just have to look at the drawing. And I can bring in, I can post that kind of stuff later.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that.
Post a balconette.
I will.
It sounds like something I should be standing on. So
and
I guess you're
drinking wine and looking over the city. Yeah.
I mean, you can drink wine and look over Speaking of wine,
I brought some Glühwein that we could drink on our balconette.
Delightful.
Delightful. This is a wonderful German tradition.
Glühwein, spiced wine.
Mm-hmm. Spiced mulled wine, mulled spiced wine. I don't know.
So we heated it in the microwave instead of the tabletop because
like
we're in
the traditional way.
And when we lived in Germany, we used to go out into the city centers, and they would have Glühwein and Wurst, and we would sit and eat Wurst with all of our neighbors and drink hot wine and
Vice Wurst,
not Vice Wurst, Rote Wurst, red fat
like the blood. Sausage?
No, not Blut.
Okay.
No, it's going
to be Blut. No, I like the Weisswurst for breakfast in Munich.
Uh-huh. They're little and cute.
So anyway, back to the balconette that holds your boobs and not your...
So we have this with matching panties at the store, and I've got multiples this time because the jasmine has been very popular, and I thought this color combination would be nice because it's not super bright. You could wear it with darks, but it gives you a little bit of pizzazz, right? It's cute. It's pretty. And the fit is super, super sweet. So this is the new fashion color. People a lot of times will come into the store and say, well, I want this purple bra that I got here 2 years ago. You can get that same bra typically, but not in the purple.
I was thinking about this the other day. So the fashion colors for the bras, like you can always get the basics, like a black or whatever. But when you...
As long as they're still making the bra. Yeah.
Right. But most of the bras have fashion colors that come out, and those are like seasonal, limited time. Yeah. Like my favorite purple Matilda is... gone and it's gone, right?
Right.
And now they'll do a Matilda, but it'll be in a different, you know, forest green or something else now, right?
Exactly.
All right. So should I move Fiona out of the way here?
You can. Absolutely.
So we can see your face?
Well, if you have to. Hold on. Would you like my help?
Yes, please.
We don't want to spill.
And I will cry over spilled Glühwein.
I mean, if we're drinking alcohol at 10 o'clock in the morning, let's not spill it.
Yeah.
It's only, just so everybody knows, it's only a little bit of alcohol. I have to drive. But so I wanted to talk, though, about the stuff I got. So I went over to Gail's to get a gift for my friend. Look at this. It's a little clear.
I want to wear
gorgeous.
It.
Can you see it? I don't know if you can see it, but it's a milk chocolate high heel shoe.
And it's got a little cute button on it. Nick, can you take it over to the Facebook Live guy and show it? And the purse part is really cute as well.
Yeah, it's adorable. So, speaking of spilled Glühwein.
Right. Okay. On the velvet.
There, I happen to have a napkin for you.
So cute.
So that's the little shoe. And then I wanted to tell everybody what you got me because I gave you your Christmas gift last week because I wasn't sure if I was going to be here. And then you gave me my Christmas gift Saturday night when we went to a house party. And I got my favorite murder swag. So Lee got me a coffee cup that says toxic masculinity ruins the party again.
Again.
A magnet that says fuck politeness.
Right. And there's a reason for that. And we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about fuck politeness. And then pencils that have several of my favorite murder quotes on them. Like, this is terrible. Keep going. Stay sexy. Don't get murdered.
Yay.
You're in a cult. Call your dad. One of my favorites. Triflers need not apply.
I like that one. I didn't even see that one.
And stay out of the forest.
Stay out of the forest.
And you also got me a little bottle of cinnamon whiskey. But
did you drink that yet?
No, I'm going to use that on the car ride up.
Oh, that's
no, I'm kidding.
Okay. I'm sorry. 1975 called and said that you're not supposed to be drinking.
They like their can of Pabst out of between your legs while you're driving back. So fuck politeness.
Yeah. Fuck politeness. There's a reason why the ladies from My Favorite Murder really pushed that, and that the murderinos, people who listened to that podcast, that would include Lisa and I, say it over and over again. If someone comes up to you on the street and you've got a bad vibe about that person, they're asking you a question, you do not have to answer them. Mm-hmm. They can go on to the next person. It doesn't have to be you. Now, there was a couple of stories about people getting murdered because they were being very polite. couple
Ted
pulls
Bundy.
Up.
Ted Bundy was the whole example, right?
Ted Bundy is the par excellence.
Yeah. And one of the things that they always say is, look, no grown man is going to ask a child or a woman to help him find a cat or whatever.
Well, he would have a cast on his arm and have a canoe off of his VW bug on the side of the road, and people would pull over and help him, and then he'd, you know,
and then you're dead.
Yeah. There was a story of a couple that was driving around because, you know, murderers don't come with a wife.
By the way, Lee was scaring the babysitter about this when we went to a house party. Babysitter showed up and I opened it and I'm like, fuck politeness. And she's like, this is why. Don't talk to anyone.
Don't talk to anybody. Well, this couple had, they had a baby seat in the back of the car. So it looked like, oh, it's a little family. I'll go and talk to them. And immediately they snatched them and hogtied them with zip ties and would murder them. Oh, yeah. And some of the stories are horrific. Oh,
or put them in a box and abuse them for
decades or whatever. Yeah. So when I was 19, something like that, a child, and lived in Mobile, Alabama, Mardi Gras is the deal, right? It's like a 2-week deal, Mardi Gras Day. Everybody's off for it's a holiday. It is a city holiday. School shut down, blah. So I may have been only been 16. I was walking back to my sister's apartment from Mardi Gras Day celebration, and a guy was in his truck and had a map open in the truck. And he was like, excuse me, can you come here and help me find something? And I thought, sure, you know, there's strangers here everywhere. I should have said no and been the fuck politeness, you know, had that going through my head. But I was like, sure. And I walked over and he reveals that he has nothing on under that map. And he's like, get in and do things to me. And I was like, and I laughed at him.
That's what I would have done.
I just was like, whatever. And I started running and he started up his truck and he hit me with it in the back of the leg and knocked me down. And I scrambled and got up and we were in this weird little parking lot. I jumped over like the half wall, you know, that bordered the parking lot. Turned a corner and there were cops sitting right there. So I told him what was going
on. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. And I was like, there's this guy, mustache. He looks like it came out of a porn movie and blah. And
he's wearing no clothes.
And he has no clothes on. And this is what he's trying to do. So we tried to find him. We didn't find him. And we went over to my sister's house, who immediately was like, what did she do? And he's like, she didn't really do anything. But so, fuck politeness. I didn't have to walk over and put myself in that situation.
Right.
So it's just.
But you don't think about it, especially when you're younger.
Right.
And you don't have enough seasoning.
To be friendly and helpful. And
it's like, well, you know, when people ask, or my favorite was always listen to adults. And I tell people, no, don't.
Yeah.
Because some of them are assholes.
Which is why the Girl Scouts had that thing about, like, don't tell your daughter, you have to hug.
Exactly, you have to hug people. Yeah. And I was like, yes, that totally down with what the Girl Scouts were saying there.
Yeah. I get it. When my son's name is Lively, if you don't know me personally, I have a little kid. And he's 10 years old. Now, when he was a newborn, his grandmother was up for election in Wilmington, North Carolina for city council. And she won. And so she won. And so we're at the polling, you know, we're going in to put in our vote. And I didn't want to take this itty bitty baby in with me. And he was asleep. And so my husband went first. I was like, you go do your vote. Come back. I was
waiting for you to be like, I handed him off to a stranger.
No,
this
lady came up and she's like, I'll hold your baby. I was like, no, that's okay. And she was insistent. And I kept saying, no, really, I have my child.
Get away from my baby.
It's not like there's that many people here. He's perfectly happy. It's not going to happen. She goes and starts bad-mouthing me to the other ladies in the room. That lady won't let me hold her baby. What does she think I'm going to do? And from across the room, I'm like, kiss my ass, bitch. I'm not going to end up in the news because you take my kid. You know, and of course, my husband's like, my mother's up for election. Shut up.
You're like, it's a little late now. Yeah. Anyway.
Sorry, but yeah. Anyway, so politeness.
Anyway, so we love the ladies and their
sayings.
Yeah.
They're all wisdom sayings.
They're public service. The public service that they do by saying, you know what? If you feel something creepy, then
you don't even
move on.
It's better to be alive and happy and not you know, and telling a story of, I was such a bitch today.
So Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
So, no, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for my gifts, though. That was awesome. So I wanted to show everyone, because that's all kinds of fun. But we were going to, after hearing Nick's beginning of the festivities last week and eating St. Lucie's eyeballs, we thought, why don't we talk about some other interesting, maybe not as morbid, but some but interesting.
Hey, there is nothing morbid about eating eyes. It's a way to look at the world differently.
Da-dum-dum-ching.
Yeah.
So,
at least according to Neil Gaiman in the Sandman book.
So first thing I want to talk about, though, is so we went to this house party Friday night, and your husband's bourbon brownies were a hit, and I have been told by several people that I need to shake him down for the recipe.
Yeah, good luck with that. It's his grandmother and grandfather. It was his grandfather's recipe. My husband's mother grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, and bourbon is a big part of their lifestyle. And one of his aunts married a gentleman whose last name is Burke, and the Burke family owned Old Happy Hollow. I'm pretty sure I got that right. And Old Happy Hollow was a distillery that was bought by the people who started Maker's Mark. So what do we have at the house every Christmas? Bourbon. Maker's Mark. Bourbon. And, bourbon is not my favorite thing to drink. I like vodka.
I like bourbon.
She loves bourbon.
I love bourbon.
And so in the beginning, they really, I think they were suspect of how successful our union was going to be, because I was like, I don't know about the whole bourbon thing.
And they're like, what?
And you were like, Patrick, shun her.
What is wrong with her? So he also makes Beyond the Bourbon Brownies, which the bourbon's not cooked out. It's soaked. The brownies are soaked.
He pours it over the top. Well, he said, it says to brush the bourbon on. I'm like, how do you brush bourbon on? He's like, so I just pour it on the top.
He just pours it.
And then there's also a confectioner's sugar that goes on top, which is also mixed with bourbon. So there's like double bourbon on
it. Nice. And the sugar really adds to that. Yeah. That delivery system. So.
Yeah. And so, and he also made gluten-free brownies
for
Lee, which was like cake batter, yummy. They were so amazing.
It was delicious. Mm-hmm. We actually got that off of a website.
That was fabulous. Yeah. But so the bourbon drink that he makes was interesting to me. So it's kind of
a drinking custard.
Family custard recipe. Yeah.
It's a drinking custard. His grandmother makes it. And if anybody's trying to talk to us on Facebook, for some freaking reason, my Facebook decided to
mine too.
To reload itself and upload a new version. So Apple, every once in a while, it's just like really inopportune moments.
Yeah.
He makes drinking custard.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes it beautifully. He's like, I need a double boiler this year for Christmas. Okay. Because usually we just do two pans and he's, jiggling that thing. But he loves it. He absolutely loves to do the cooking and feels like such a success. Now we do it for his family. Also, he's like, I'll just do it for you guys. Hang out. Go have some wine.
So it's like a thickened milk drink with bourbon on top?
Well, you've had like a thick custard that you eat with a fork, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a creme brulee kind of
custard. But liquefied. Yeah.
But this is more like a kefir milk or something, like a thick,
I guess.
Like liquid yogurt kind of.
Yeah, like a liquidy yogurt kind of thing. And then, so they poured in these beautiful little glasses, and then they put a little bit of bourbon. Floats right on top, and then you drink the custard through the bourbon.
And so that was the first experience you had with bourbon where you were like, I can drink bourbon?
After a couple of years, I succumbed to the pressure, because I was like, okay, I'm going to have to show them that I can actually hang and drink this stuff. And it was good. It was very, very good.
Mm-hmm. So if you're going to marry into a Kentucky family, you got to.
Yeah. If you're going to, we would go to Kentucky every year for Christmas and be with them and that was fun. So that was a big tradition, the drinking custard that we continue. And our son can drink the custard without, obviously, the bourbon on top.
Obviously.
He can't drink the bourbon.
Why
He's
not?
10.
So?
I'm going to say previous generations probably were just like drinking bourbon left, right,
and center. I'm pretty sure I had whiskey when I was like teething.
But, back in the day.
Anyway.
Back when pirates were a thing.
So I I had.
We come from the land of Blackbeard over in North Carolina.
So yeah,
that's true.
Careful,
I know.
Yeah.
Oh no, that wasn't a slam. That was like just a genuine social commentary.
So seriously, can I not get the bourbon brownie recipe?
No.
Damn it.
Nope. You're gonna have to come to him every year.
Please, sir, can I have some more?
I'll pay you for the bourbon brownies. We'll meet in the parking lot.
We should do that, and I can make my sherry trifle, the one that people need to Uber.
I've never had trifle. I've seen it. I mean, I've seen pictures of trifle.
Yeah, I just remember on Friends when they made trifle and she mixed in the lasagna recipe or the meatloaf recipe. Did you see that? Yeah.
I did not.
And Joey Tribbiani was like, meat good, sweet good.
Okay. So I was talking to my sister yesterday, and she reminded me of a family tradition that I had. She's 7 years younger than me. So I don't remember it. I think I might vaguely know, but it may just be that she told me that it happened. So mm-hmm. now I'm making up memories. But I do recall that her favorite movie when she was a child. Hi, George. Because she loved to sing was The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Nice.
And there is a lovely scene in that where all of the young football players are, they've won their game and they're excited about going to Dolly Parton's whorehouse and they're in the shower and there's a whole dance routine. We used to make her turn, like she would sing through the whole show and we would make her turn around and not watch all the butts, but she could, you know, continue to sing. So for Christmas, you know, because as a child, she would get up at like ridiculously, you know, 4 a.m. or whatever. Santa here. My dad would be like, go back to bed. And the way he would then wake her up or tell her that she could get out of bed and go open her presents was that he would put on the VHS tape then of Best Little Whorehouse in Texas and fast forward it to Hard Candy Christmas.
Oh, my God.
And so she would hear Dolly Parton singing about the whores getting laid off right before Christmas. And then she knew that she could get up and you know, dad was up and mom had her coffee and it was time to open presents. So Hard Candy Christmas as the wake up call for the sister
Well, I talked to my friend Maura today and I was like, I didn't do my homework. What are your traditions? Help me, Lisa's gonna be mad. What are your traditions? She said, oh, I don't know. But my parents would wake us up in the middle of the night to open up our Christmas presents. What?
Yeah, that's...
So she said, they would wake us up about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and we had to open up all of our presents then, and then we would go back to bed until like 11 or 12. Like, your parents were brilliant.
That was brilliant. Like, yeah.
Because they were up already.
Yeah, they were just coming in from Mass or whatever.
Right.
And then, yeah.
Probably.
Well, just drinking,
putting things out under the tree and things.
Oh,
and
I assume
they probably talked to Santa for a while and gave him cookies. And once he left, they went and woke them up. How's that?
There we go. That'll work. I learned people just don't put out booze for Santa in this country. My parents insisted that Santa had. Weird, because in England, Santa, like, drives, like, completely leathered, because, like, everyone puts out sherry.
Completely what?
Leathered.
Like, leathered?
Drunk.
Blitzed.
Oh, drunk. I like that
word.
But
he's got the deer driving
he's
for him.
He's got the deer. So, they know where they're going.
So you think Rudolph really knows the flight plan?
He's like, Rudolph,
you bastard.
I love you. You're my mate. You know how to go.
I mean, seriously, he's going to fall asleep with all those milk and cookies anyway.
Right. He might as well have like a happy swim of the head.
So we're supposed to leave out,
sherry, whiskey. Whiskey's good.
Or port.
Or port. Port's good. Port's good. Yeah.
If I were Santa, I'd be all about the port. But so my sister-in-law has a tradition in her family that she kept with her and my brother's children, my two nieces. And now they're 13 and 15, so I think I can spill the beans. And they're probably not listening, but if you are, hey, Regan and Kendall. They have pajama elves that show up Christmas Eve Eve.
Okay.
So on Christmas Eve Eve, elves come and they leave a pair of brand new pajamas.
Oh, that's
and when
cute.
They were younger, she also had a book that she would read with them about the elves and how they were involved in Christmas and everything. Okay. And so they would read the book every year. They would go to bed, and then the next day they would get up and they would have their pajamas that they could wear for.
Oh, that's cute.
For Christmas night.
That's very cute.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That is cute.
So I introduced a friend to Christmas crackers on Sunday.
And by crackers, you don't mean crackers that you eat.
I don't mean crackers that I eat. Although she was puzzled when I talked about Christmas crackers, and she was like, I've heard of it. Why do people get so hung up about it? I thought it was like an individual serving of crackers that people had, you know,
like, what's
to celebrate
that?
Christmas. But for those that don't know, a Christmas cracker is actually a paper thing. I should have brought some. I didn't think about that, but I should have brought some. They're basically three tubes connected with paper, and there's a snap inside. It's a small bit of gunpowder, but, you know, it's not
– gunpowder?
Kind of, yeah, it's basically black powder, but like very small amount, just enough to make a little poppy, bangy sound. It's also why –
it's like what would be in a cap gun.
Yeah, kind of like in a cap gun.
Or that you throw.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not even sure it's that much, but it's enough to make a little crack sound, like a log on a fire or something. And you take hold. One person holds one of the small tubes at one end, and the other person holds the other end. And you pull. And the thing makes a snappy sound. And then the larger tube has like a toy – and a little paper hat.
Oh.
And like a joke or other thing.
That sounds like adorable.
So it's like a Cracker Jack box.
It's kind of like a Cracker Jack box.
Because I've always wondered, jokes. I'm like, so what's the point of the noise? I don't get it. But right. There's a toy in there, too.
There's a toy in there, yeah. Okay. And it's kind of like.
Do you make a wish when you make it crack?
You can, I suppose.
Where can I get some of these magic tubes?
You can get them at a lot of places, yeah. I found. You can get them at Target.
And I just saw them somewhere.
The ones at Target are actually made by Tom Smith, who are like the name in crackers. I'm not sure it's Tom Smith.
There's a the name in crackers?
There is.
I mean, I guess there's a the name in everything,
yeah,
right?
They sell who crackers knew? Year round, but, you know, obviously they like sell like, you know, 95% of them at Christmas. And a huge ton of them to the royal palaces.
Oh.
So you go there and they have the by appointment to the queen. So when the queen needs a cracker,
they go to
Tom Smith. And
well, if it's good enough for her,
it's good enough for the queen. Oh, it's my. Good enough
I just
for
see the queen going, I need a cracker.
Exactly. You know what I would like? I need something to pull and it goes bang very suddenly.
I want one so bad right
yes.
now.
Yeah, I think I was at Barnes & Noble and I think
you
I
know
saw
what?
Like
they
a
probably
gift box
have them
of,
there as well. Yeah. You know what? When's our next episode?
Not until January 10th.
All right.
Yeah.
Screw it. We'll probably still have crackers. We'll do some crackers afterwards.
Okay. I'm totally down.
The thing is, in England, there are certain brands which are like adult or naughty crackers.
Even better.
Ooh, where you get some Pinky Panky in there?
Why didn't we
yes.
get,
oh my God.
Be perfect for
now we have busted crackers next year.
That's what we have to make.
Look for
you
them.
You can actually make them. And I mean, we could make them with, you know.
Naughty knickers.
Naughty
in
knickers inside,
naughty
yeah.
Knickers. I like it.
I do yeah. too. I think that's adorable.
Yeah.
How funny.
Come
and
join
cute.
Our Christmas right. sale.
So
it's a cracker.
So we trademarked that or whatever. That's our intellectual property. Don't steal it.
Yeah. I'm good at trademarking shit.
She is. She is. She's on a roll. So,
okay, I have one for you that I forgot about that I remembered.
Is this what you're writing
yes,
on my paper?
Because if I forgot the word, I would die.
Does that have to do with cheese?
It does.
Okay,
really, really stinky, veiny cheese.
I love
Stilton.
Blue cheese.
Stilton and port. You mentioned port, and I was like, oh wait,
port and Stilton.
That was the other thing that in the same Kentucky family because they would eat. A great big late afternoon lunch, late at night for dinner, we would just have like fruit and port and Stilton.
Okay.
With Granddaddy Lively. And we also called him Grandoodles, which I think is cute.
I call one of my dogs that too.
Grandoodles?
Well, not grand, but I call him Doodles.
Doodles. Oh, cute. Mm-hmm. So one of our very first Christmases together, we'd just been married, we're he's eaten the Stilton and cheese, and we're going to bed and all excited about Christmas the next morning because I don't know what Christmas is like in his grandparents' house the next day, but there's a ton of people sleeping all over the place, and they gave us our own room. And all of a sudden, there's this very disturbing smell in the room. Where okay. You're almost asleep and your eyelids flop open like in a Bugs Bunny cartoon when they open the blinds. Mm-hmm. And I was like, did you do that? And he's laughing going, yep. I was like, okay, no more Port and Stilton combination.
Apparently that makes his dad for you. So it sounds like his family is okay, very genteel.
This tradition is going to be.
It was pretty darn funny. Every once in a while, he's like, I think I'm going to go get some Port and Stilton. I was like, I'll sleep somewhere else. That'll be awesome.
But that sounds lovely. I could just have a glass of cordial glass of port and some slices of Stilton cheese and be very happy.
We got some fantastic port glasses at Hugh one time.
Oh, yeah.
They're very, very delicate, and they have this really weird tube on the end. Do you know what I'm talking about, Nick?
Yeah.
They're kind of shaped like that, but then there's this funky little tube that you sip the port through.
Right.
I'll have to show them to you, or I'll
see if I can take a picture. Because that's for, like, very old port, because as port gets old, it gets, like, a crust to it, and it floats on the surface, so you don't want to get that crust. So you sip from underneath the crust.
But they're very delicate little glasses. And we got them from Hugh over on Cass.
Yeah, our friend Joe Posh.
Yeah.
Just dropping all the names this week.
We got a lot of Joe Posh. Who just had his 5-year anniversary. Thank you very much.
Happy anniversary, Joe.
Absolutely. Yay, Joe. He's also a Hatch alum.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm – he won Hatch.
He won the first year, didn't he?
The very first year, yeah. And I was in the top 10 3 years later, I think. But yeah, he's amazing. I love everything in his store. I buy from him every Christmas for Patrick. We're trying to get the bar together that has stuff all over it. I need an organizer to come to my house.
I got to find that card for you. I'm telling you right now. Got to find your name.
I haven't moved into that house in 6 years and I'm done.
Well, we're always trying to get our shit together, right?
Absolutely.
Jadana is on her way. So we should kind of like Amanda last week, we'll have her jet in maybe the last 15
talk
minutes or so and tell us about what's going on. But the other thing I wanted to talk about, and I was hoping to actually hear this from my girlfriend. So one of my very good friends is Polish. And I realized when I called her this morning that she's probably already in Warsaw because she's going to spend a couple of weeks there with her mother. Yep. And her husband is also Polish. He is not from Warsaw, but I expect he'll be seeing his family, too, while they're in town. So I called her and then went, oh, wait, this is probably going directly to voicemail because you're in Europe. But she had told me a long time ago about this, the Polish tradition on Christmas Eve. It used to be that they would fast. So Christmas Eve was a gigantic 12-course spread.
Yeah.
And so they still traditionally will have the traditional 12 courses. And so I did find that the courses, the idea is that something comes from all the four corners of the earth. So you have fish courses and you have the woodsy courses and all of that. So literally 12 courses, and it's things like Polish mushroom soup, beet soup, dumplings. Mm-hmm. This is the one that I remember her telling me about, because I was like, yeah. Fish in aspic. It's so, like, basically fish in a gelatin.
Yeah, it's basically jellied fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh, no, thank you.
Do you eat that?
No, but you know, it's funny.
We could do aspic, a whole thing. Do you eat that?
Yeah, exactly.
Who eats that?
Yeah. Aspic's weird because aspic was what people used to use before we decided, you know, hey, let's take cow bones and get the gelatin.
Gelatin from that.
Aspic is if you don't want to eat, like, that kind of jelly, aspic is actually a lot more friendly because it's a plant-based thing, right?
Right, so you're not eating horse hooves or whatever.
You're not eating, like, bits of pigs or hooves or whatever. Right. But, yeah, it has that consistency. Aspic is... If you've ever seen those 70s pictures where it's like...
Yeah, I've eaten aspic.
It's a mayonnaise and pea gelatin mold.
Oh, yeah, it's like the... That sounds lovely. What was happening in the 1970s?
Well, I talked to someone who has a Polish tradition also today.
Oh, really?
What's the name of the cookie cracker thing?
Plotnik.
That's it. He can say it better than I can.
Plotnik.
So I always think of Sputnik. But anyway.
Oh, see, I think like some there's some sort of an assassination plot.
Plotnik.
Plot against Nick.
Oh, my God.
So I looked up this Christmas Eve wafery cookie cracker, and it's not sweet. It's very plain. And apparently, in my friend's house, they all take a little corner and they're sharing and breaking bread mm-hmm. together before the feast starts. And they said it's very, very sweet. So I looked up the tradition on Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. And so there's a little bit more to it. Apparently, it traditionally starts with the head of household, typically a man, who comes up and says, "Hey, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. We've had a great year. I was a little bit of a dick, so I want to apologize to that for my wife because she's so awesome. And here, have some cookie." And then she comes and takes a piece of cookie, eats it with him, and then she takes over and says, "Hi, this year was wonderful, and I love you all, and I'm sending you blessings, and I'm taking a piece of cookie, and I'm going to share it with the next oldest person."
Yeah.
And then it goes age. It's an age thing to the last person gets a little bit of the cookie. But they're breaking bread together
right.
after they've broken their fast. It's a way of saying, okay, I'm done with my fast for Advent. And
now we're going to
right absolutely.
Now we're going to forgive each other for the sins of the year, and we're going to praise each other for what's coming up and what we did great.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a nice little tradition.
It is. Yeah. It's a little like the airing of the grievances for Festivus.
Festivus, yeah.
And it's and the, maybe and I'm gonna think that was probably picked up by that's probably where it was filtered in from or something like that.
Right, they pulled it out of the airing of the grievances,
and then it cracked. They pulled.
Well,
it.
And I'm sure there are multiple kind of those kinds of traditions.
Yes.
Hold on, just a second. I'm gonna step out for just a second.
Okay.
Because I think Jadonna may be here.
Jess is going. She's got it. Because she's extraordinarily fantastic. So if you ever want to do a podcast here at Podcast Detroit. Jessica is a fantastic engineer. She's lots of fun. And it's kind of – this is a great place to do a podcast.
It really is.
It really is. And they have places all over the Metro Detroit area. When I say all over,
couple,
I mean like four.
I mean it covers a wide area. So, yeah.
Yeah.
The Aplatnik is good, though. Although it's kind of the same consistency as like a communion wafer, so it tastes a bit like –
She's just going to talk to Jadonna right here.
Yeah, I know. Let's just keep.
I'm going to step out.
No.
So, all right. Are you staying here for Christmas?
Yeah. I'm going to a friend's house to have Christmas Day, and then another friend has a thing on the day after Boxing Day. There's a British tradition for you.
Really? What's that?
Boxing Day? Well, it's we always have like Boxing Day. It's called Boxing Day for confusing reasons. Most people think it's because of charity boxes that were put out or possibly boxed up gifts that were
You okay?
That were given to the poor. But it's just the feast of St. Stephen, you know, because let's celebrate someone that St. Paul had stoned by giving stuff to the poor, which is a fairly common thing. If you're Canadian, I think they do Boxing Day as well. And it was also the day when the better movies came on TV because, you know, in England, it was always The Queen followed by Star Wars for like most of my childhood.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, it's not bad. But after you've watched Star Wars, you know, like for 13 years in a row on Christmas Day, you're like, hey, so there's a new movie going to be showing on like on Boxing Day. Yeah.
A different
Star Wars movie. I hear this one has Ewoks in it. Yeah, so.
We like Ewoks.
Oh, speaking of, go see The Last Jedi. It's superb.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about what our guest does and why it's really cool and fun that she's coming. She has a brick and mortar store called Margot and Max, and it's over in between 8 and 9 Mile on Livernois.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And that is technically Ferndale, but right at the edge of Detroit.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And it's near your prior guest who came on talking about the Perlotti.
Oh, yes.
At the cafe.
The cafe is like just a block north of Margot and Max.
And that, okay. And she's across the street from Axel Brewing, right?
She's right. She's like right next door to the brewing company.
She's on the same side.
Same side. She's like,
you know, I drove by it last night and you're right.
Yeah, they're side. Like the brewery set back from the street. She's mm-hmm. like right on the street in the little building next to that.
She has a great Facebook page.
Yes.
Very active. She posts all kinds of beautiful things that she gets in the store. You can talk to her directly, which I think is always fun for a small business that you can get to the owner. You can talk to her and say, hey, what size was that? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then she can hold it for you if you want to buy it. But she has some lovely items that come up at Margot and Max.
Yeah, she actually, that's one of the issues with this morning was she was going to meet a client to help him pick up drop off a gift for his wife that he was
that's so nice
from the shop. And yeah, I'm going to ask her to get us some photos that we can tweet out of some of the stuff that she has. But, you know, it's a resale shop, so it's kind of first come, first serve.
Yeah, you know? And you don't get it in different sizes. It's, if that's your size, that's yours.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully she'll be here shortly to tell us the story behind the name Margot and Max.
Yeah.
It's a cute little story. So what did you guys talk about other?
We talked about you the whole time.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I know. Don't worry, you'll be able to watch it.
You'll be able to watch it.
Watch it up when you're in North. It'll be fine. You'll be calmed down once.
No, did you have any other holiday traditions? I would say Christmas because none of us are really like I have an ex-mother-in-law who is Jewish, but we really celebrated like Hanukkah in the dining room and spun the dreidel and stuff, and then we went to the living room where there was a Christmas tree. So,
yeah, pretty much.
But did we talk? Did you have other stuff, or did we?
I mean, there's always watching the Queen.
Not really.
The Queen
watching
is always fun to watch.
Watching the Queen.
Yeah, yeah. She gives a speech every Christmas. There was that movie about her dad having to give the speech.
The King's Speech.
The King's Speech. Yes, the speech that happens on Christmas Day.
Oh,
it's lovely.
That sounds like an exciting.
Well, you know, it's a British thing, so it doesn't really need to be exciting.
It just needs to have tradition.
It just sort of happens, and we all sit there and we go, that was a speech.
Okay, then. Where are our crackers?
Yes.
Where are our crackers? I still want to do
that. So do any of you have movies you watch, like Miracle on 34th Street or?
Young Frankenstein. We would throw on Young Frankenstein. Batman I know Returns. Mel Brooks was a thing.
Mel Brooks was a Christmas thing?
For us, it was. It made us laugh. We like to laugh. Now, most of the people in my family, and when I say most, I can't think of any that aren't, are musicians. And so we would sing a lot. And when we weren't singing and playing music, we were watching Mel Brooks and laughing our asses off. I think he's inappropriate and fun.
Yeah.
We watched Miracle on 34th Street and, of course, A Christmas Story. So...
Yeah, we weren't quite that sweet. Y'all are obviously sweet. My parents would try to get me to watch Charlie Brown, and I was just like banging my head against the wall.
Whatever. So your tree is lame.
Yeah. Wah, wah.
But A Christmas Story is great.
Is it?
You ever seen A Christmas Story?
I have, but you know.
The Fragile. The lamp.
It's a very American thing I found.
Werewolf. Werewolf.
Yeah.
Young Frankenstein.
I watch Batman Returns. I mean, you know, until
you
I
gotta watch
Susie
A Christmas Story.
Banshees,
it's not as sweet as you think it is. I mean, it's not Young Frankenstein. You watched what?
Batman Returns.
Batman Returns.
Yeah, it happens
I
at
hear
Christmas.
A lot of people watch Die Hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not Christmas until he falls off the Nakatomi Plaza.
Oh my God! My friend is doing the I've got to find it. My friend Corey Herndon. Mm-hmm. He was brilliant, just stinking brilliant. He's doing the Days of Christmas, but with a twist. Oh, my God. Can I actually get there in time? Can I see your Facebook page? Give me your phone.
You can try.
Oh, but I won't be able to see him because you aren't with him.
I'm going. I'm friends with his wife. I don't know if
oh,
I'm
good. SP.
Him.
Perfect. So that'll probably work because I don't have the real.
Well, I don't think it's coming in. Here she is.
Jadonna! I'll have to tell you about it later.
Hello.
Jadonna!
Hello, Jadonna.
How are you?
Here's Jadonna!
Okay, well, no, let's put her right here.
Yeah, put her there. Right. And then she can be on the pretty fun time.
Okay.
So,
all right, hop in.
Jadana, we were just here. Have some Glühwein.
Oh, okay.
If you drink, it's wine.
Oh, I'm not this early.
It's a it's spiced wine.
It's really spiced. It's really low.
I love it. Oh, not this early. Yeah. Well, there's spices. There's spices.
It's really fruit. It's really fruit. So,
and then you just put those on your head.
Okay. So
talk right in the microphone.
So, Jadana, we were talking about Christmas traditions before you got here. Mm-hmm. And Lee had mentioned just before you came in that you where the location of Margot and Max is.
That's good.
Isn't that yummy? So, so we wanted to have you on to talk a little bit about Margot and Max and how you started. Because as I recall, you started like basically in your house, right? Like,
yep. I started
so
Margot and Max.
Tell us your story.
Sure. So, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. And I apologize for being a little late.
No, it's you're perfectly fine. We bored everybody with all of our little stories. So.
Okay.
All right. Wake up, everybody.
Okay. Not, yeah, that's right. Wake up. So I started Margot and Max in 2014. And I started at my dining room table. I was working for a small firm, and I worked there for about 3.5 years. And I went in for my annual review, and instead of getting a raise, I was let go.
No!
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And so after that, I was certain I was going to find another job right away because I had all these great skills, right? Well, every door slammed shut, and I said, I'm not going to work for anybody. I've got to figure out how to work for myself. And my husband was very apprehensive because he's the guy who, you know, has everything figured out, and I'm the risk taker. And I said, I'm going to start my own business. And he said, what? And I said, I'm just going to try it. So I started a Facebook page and just put up a pair of earrings. And a friend of mine, we've been friends for like 20 years, sent me a message on Facebook. Hey, I love those earrings. Do you think they match my dress? I said, send me a picture. She sent me a picture of the dress. They match perfectly. She came over to get the earrings, and I asked her if she had her handbag and her shoes, and she said she didn't. And I said, well, what size do you wear? She said, size 9. I said, me too. And so I grabbed them. She loved them. And she said, what else do you have? And I had a bunch of clothes that I didn't wear anymore, and we just so happened to wear the same size. So she bought a bunch of stuff, and then she came back 3 weeks in a row. She kept calling, girl, can I come back over? And I was like, sure. And I thought she was just coming to hang out, but she was coming in the shop. And then she brought a friend, and it just spread like wildfire. And before I knew it, there were racks everywhere, and my family was like, really? Because there were, you know, clothing racks in the dining room, the living room, everywhere. Uh-huh. And then I moved it to a brick and mortar in Grosse Pointe Park, and we were there for 2 years. But I ran it by appointment only because that's how I started it when it was – at my house. I didn't just, you know, hang out a right. sign. And we were in a, it was really unusual, second floor of an office building, but we converted it into a boutique. Okay. And we were there for 2 years. And then that building sold and we moved to Ferndale. We're on Livernois between 8 and 9 in Ferndale. And it's amazing. I love it. I love Ferndale. I love what I do, but I love being in Ferndale. It's a great community for, you know, many reasons, but they're very supportive of small businesses.
And the shop is really cozy now. Have you been to the shop?
I've driven by the shop, and I think I went actually in your first location on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going there.
Yes.
Yeah, and then we started a business, and all hell broke loose, and I haven't been able
to. She hasn't gone anywhere but her shop.
Here and here.
Yeah. That's kind of how it is for entrepreneurs. Yep.
Yeah.
I tell people don't become an entrepreneur if you want to work 9 to 5 because you will not be working.
You will not be working 9 to 5. No. And it's a wonderful thing. I mean,
yes,
I wouldn't trade it for the world, but I do follow your Facebook page. And every time I see something that I want, somebody else gets it. And I'm like, damn it. I'm not fast enough.
Yeah. You got to be fast because there's only one of everything.
Right. Well, and Jadana will post and it'll be like this gorgeous dress or whatever. And then you're like, oh, I'm thinking about that. And then the next time you see it, it's like sold.
Right. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
So now I wanted you to tell the story about the name Margot and Max.
Sure. So Margot and Max. But when I started the business, I wanted it to have a name that meant something to me. So I was thinking of, you know, what should I call it? And I came up with the name Margot and Max. And Margot was a German Shepherd that my family had when I was growing up. I had a paper route when I was 12. And Margot was my constant companion on my paper route. She was a German Shepherd Husky
That's
mix.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. And so, But it wasn't really brilliant because I would tie my, I delivered the Detroit News and I would tie the wagon to her collar. And if she saw a squirrel,
there goes
the newspaper. There goes the wagon, all four wheels flying through the air. So we replaced a lot of wagons, but she was a great dog. And then Max was a cat that my husband and I had for 16 years. And so they're both gone over the rainbow,
right?
But they live on at my shop.
Nice. And now you're the mannequins, because you carry a wide variety of sizes.
Yes.
You now the mannequins are named Margo and Max as well, right?
That's correct.
And so, Margo is the larger sized mannequin?
Correct, because the German Shepherd is larger than the cat. Right.
That's how I'm going to remember that from now on. So you'll see her post and it'll say, this is on Margo, it's a size 12, or this is on Max, it's a size 6. Now, but you also just started a new venture. Is it Margo?
Exclusively Margo.
Yes.
Yep. So being plus size myself, I know how difficult it is to find plus size clothing.
Especially cute stuff.
Especially cute stuff. You know, it isn't hard to find ugly stuff.
Right.
Moo-moos.
Right. That, here's a tent.
Okay. So with that in mind, I wanted to expand a little bit on the offerings for my plus size clients. And I like to say curvy girls, but there are size 6 ladies who are curvy too. And so we're going to carve out a space within our space where we're going to expand our offerings of plus size clothing that is going to be called Exclusively Margo. So,
excellent.
Yeah, so you'll be able to find some new things there. We'll be doing because Margo and Max is all previously loved or vintage right now, previously loved / used or resale. And so we exclusively Margo will have some previously loved, but we will have a larger offering of new clothing.
Straight from the manufacturer.
More sizes in each one. So are you open now all the time? What are your hours?
So we are open Thursday through Saturday, Thursday 5 to 8, Friday 1 to 9, and Saturday 11 to 5. And then we're also open by appointment because I still have a lot of clients who like to have the store to themselves. And it's particularly when they're looking for a special, garment for a special event, then I could take a little bit more time and work with folks one-on-one.
And I was going to ask about special events because one of the things, we're going to be off for 2 weeks, but one of the things that's going to be coming up in January is Auto Prom. So you do have some stuff coming in that is like special occasion.
Yes.
Wear.
Yes, we carry a lot of special occasion. I style people for, like the charity preview, things like that.
Auto Prom.
I love that. I do a lot of that. And then, of course, I do regular prom and homecoming and things like that. But, holiday
barrister's
dresses.
Ball.
Yes, barrister's ball. Yeah. We've been the official clothier of the barrister's ball for 2 years and going into next year as well.
And we take care of the foundations for so many of your same clients.
Yep. I send a lot of people to
me. And I appreciate that so much. They tell me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Do you know Jadonna? I'm like, I do.
Yes, that's awesome. Because it's very important, especially with formal wear, that you have the appropriate undergarments. So
I was less than a mile from you, that would be great, right?
That would be so awesome.
Hmm. Yes. We'll have to think about that.
We have to think about how to make that happen, right?
So I think some people, when they think resale, they think they don't have a vision of what your shop looks like. First of all, you go into her shop, it's so cute. It's warm and welcoming. Well, when I was there, your daughter India was there too, so I got to meet the whole family.
Yes.
Met your husband,
nice.
But
she's
a sweetheart.
Thank you.
So anyway, so it's a very warm, welcoming environment, and the clothing is all very high quality, nice clothing. So where do you go? Like, do you go to Chicago? If you're buying new clothes, you go to
the new stuff that we're going to to bring into the shop. Most of that stuff will probably come in from LA or Texas. But I go all over. And, of course, I'm not going to share my trade secrets.
Yeah. But it's going to be like a lot of heart. Like,
it
it's
is.
Not easy. It's not as easy as just going, okay, I'm going to go to this clothing manufacturer
That's
and
correct.
Buy it. You've got to like dig.
Yeah. It's curated. Our collection is curated. I did that on purpose. To your point, to brag just a little bit. Georgia Cavonis from the Detroit Free Press came into our store in June, she did a great piece on us, and she called us the best resale clothing store ever.
Mm-hmm. Ever.
Ever. And I'm super proud of that. Our store looks like a boutique. It feels like a boutique. Nothing about it says, hi, this stuff is resale. You don't walk in and it smells funny and you're like, whoa, what's going on? It smells good. It looks good. You know, we go through and everything is cleaned and everything is curated. Mm-hmm. And we want people to have that feel. We want to be a pleasant surprise for folks.
So we need to come by and do a live event in the store.
We do. That would be awesome. I hate shopping and I really hate resale because usually you have to dig through everything.
Right.
You have to dig through piles and I don't have the patience for it. I'm not a fashionista. I don't care that much. But you have like things,
obviously,
like you have Tahari.
Yes.
You've got it like separated by size, but also by brand. So if I go in and I'm looking for a suit, and I guess this will be one thing to say, you don't sell pants because that was too difficult.
Yeah.
Like people weren't really buying that, right?
And people get kind of weird about pants when you come to resale. So we do dresses, skirts, jackets, sweaters, that kind of thing.
And you have some shoes too.
We have lots of shoes and we have cute bags and jewelry. And so we've kind of transitioned it. We have vintage bags and some previously loved bags, but we also have a lot of new bags now and a lot of new jewelry.
Mm-hmm. Because I need some brooches.
We have so many brooches.
Some more glue vine. Really? That'd be.
Yeah, we have some great vintage brooches right now. So you got to come into the shop.
Yeah,
you got to come check us out.
Like right around the corner.
I live right around the corner from
you.
Yeah, I'm right behind the Avenue of Fashion.
Don't give your address or anything.
I live at blah.
Right.
Dog in that house.
You give your address.
We're at 561 Livernois between 8 and 9. We're in a little black house right in front of Body Morph Gym, right next to Axel Brewing.
Yeah.
So you can go and get a bite to eat or a drink at Axel.
Well,
you can do Pilates in the morning and then go shopping in the afternoon.
Go do Pilates on a Saturday morning. Yeah.
So we're going to close out with the vomit spots, but I want to say Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Happy
Merry
New
Christmas.
Year.
Thank you so much.
Happy holidays.
Thank you for coming. You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And I won't commit to anything, but I want to talk to you after we go off the air about coming over right now and doing a little Facebook Live.
Okay, well, that would be awesome.
Before the vomit spots kick in, I just want to say we are off next week and the following week because Lee is going to be out of town.
Why am I going to be out of town?
Her mom's getting married.
That's it.
Oh, that's exciting.
My 81-year-old mother is getting married.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love it.
She'd be pissed at me for saying that because she's not 81 yet. In a few days, she will be 81. Oh, and during the time of the wedding. And she's marrying her high school boyfriend.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Isn't that cute? So we have pictures of them from high school at proms and formals in college, and now we're going to have.
So 60 years later, they got married.
And you know that none of the other women in my family are willing to be a bridesmaid. I'm so pissed. Because I'm like,
awful.
I'll do it. My mom's like, no, now it's a lot of pressure.
So
this will be a fun set of stories.
Yeah. So we'll look forward to wedding stories when we come back on January 10th. Yeah. And that will be about the time
can
that auto prom will be
dresses?
Happening. No, because I would not ever fit into mine and I've gotten rid of that husband. So
I don't know.
Ain't happening.
I might wear a veil then.
So coming up in January, the things that are going to be coming up our auto prom, which Jadonna can help fit you for.
Absolutely.
And the winter blast will be happening if we have weather for it, right?
Oh, we'll have weather.
We'll have weather.
It's coming.
I mean, we always have weather, whether
it's raining or snow. So anyway, we will be back here on January 10th. Right? That'll be our next.
We will be. Yeah.
January 10th. When you're going into different coffee shops around town, if you have extra mittens, there are a lot of places that are taking Mittens for Detroit, which is an organization, Mittens for Detroit.
Absolutely.
I know at the Starbucks here in Royal Oak, they had it. But different coffee shops all around town are taking mittens. 14 East is taking mittens. And so if you have if you're shopping, throw a few extra mittens in your cart, put them out there. Socks. People are out there. They're cold. They need socks. They need mittens. Losing those digits is a hard thing to do. And it got really, really cold the other night. So just think about that. Happy holidays. Jess, take us away, man.